Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of one of the best limited history series. Very serious stuff on mysteries. It's good to be back, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. Do you remember in like...
New year, old history.
Do you remember in like early noughties, R&B songs, you would have got people saying stuff like, it's another one at the start, it's another one.
Well, the only person who said another one, DJ Khaled, has that sewn up.
Well,
he's the only one saying, I'll reissue you.
Craig David was doing it 20 years before that.
No, he wasn't.
He was, it's another one. It's another one. Gonna make you make a dance to this.
I don't know that one. No. And I know a lot of Craig David.
Gonna make you make a dance. This is how it,
Oh, no. We're 30 seconds in and the light of Emperor Vespasius is flashing.
She's still haven't decided to learn his name, even though he fucking, you know, he bequeathed modern stadia to the world.
You know, again, that could be another medieval name for you. Bequeath.
Bequeath is what I do whenever I roll over in bed and just a wee bit of air just falls out of me.
And do you know what bequeath does? Do you know what you do for the king? You're in charge of the stock in his gravy. Bequeath. 'Tis not bequeath. A Sunday unless bequeath has come through.
Bequeath more lamb shanks for the stew.
Ah, the broth of bequeath is the envy of many a cook in the empire.
Kitchen master, where is bequeath? Caught the bequeath sitting fucking steaming turkey legs.
Everybody is beneath bequeath. As he's trying to say that for banter. Where is the Nepalese soy boy?
Oh, where is
it? Have we sold out? Because it appears to me that there's cans of liquid death where there should be the Nepalese soy boy. Yep. That's horrible to see. Move them back a little bit.
There he is.
Get the soy boy in there. The Nepalese soy boy. If anyone didn't see the last season of Mysteries, sometimes you just got to pat the head of the Nepalese soy boy when someone brings out an unbelievable fact.
Yep.
And what is it? What is this podcast?
Anyway. Today's episode.
No, I mean in general.
All right. All these episodes are chances for Shane and I to go through important historical events and decipher, and what's the word? What's the word I'm looking for?
Spread?
Separate. Although spread.
Please don't do that again and make direct eye contact with me.
Separate the fact from fiction, the myth from history, if you will.
I think we're looking at, because there's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of history podcasts out there. By the way, so sly to exist in history podcasts, how quickly we climb those charts, the podcast charts.
Just like here.
Just bringing out a few of these.
Parachuting in like fucking D-Day. Oh, there's a historical event for you. You know what I mean?
I felt bad for existing history podcasts when I'd say there's a lot of like guys that, you know, guys and girls that host those kind of podcasts fuming.
Yeah, it's like guys who are sitting there making like a wee, spend all their day making like a fucking new, you know, highly intensely designed tactical shooter, and then Call of Duty just goes, bam, there you go.
Yep.
We're handing you old shit.
Would we fuck up most people who do history podcasts?
Would we fuck them up physically?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think Dan Snow takes us.
I think, oh, here, like mentally, yeah, physically, I think we win that fight.
You think we could beat up Dan Snow?
I think we could beat him. I think...
Calling you out, playboy.
You bring the stamina and athleticism. I bring the raw power of, E. Honda.
I wasn't sure what you bring.
I bring gravy. I'm bringing raw power and a bequeath stew. Yeah. A bespoke bequeath. You know what I mean? That's what I'm bringing you. So what's today's episode about, Shane?
By the way, before we go into today's episode, I know some people just want the history. Before going into today's episode, I think you should pat the head of the Nepalese soy boy for me being here today.
Well done, in fairness.
What's the number one reason people pull out of things? Not ready for that big of a commitment. No, people pull out of things because of car trouble.
That is
things like this. My car's broke down. The second you hear that, the person's not going to the thing they are supposed to be going to.
Do you know what I really wrestled with? And I mean, I wrestled with this morning.
Breakfast?
It was a breakfast issue because I get into the car.
You have breakfast in the car.
I haven't had breakfast. We get into the car. I get into the car. We get into the car. Why just me? Do you know what? I get into the car today.
This story's falling apart.
I get into the car
quicker than ancient Rome
with the 1L Studios chef's knife that we used to cut the Doogie's Goodies cake last week. Right. So I look like a psycho getting into my car with a knife and a jumper, right? So get into the car. I'm driving along.
It's not weird that you were wearing a jumper as well.
No, I had it in my hand.
Oh, right.
Just a jumper rolled up and a chef's knife. Looked like I'm going to go do some mischief. And then we went. Or why do I keep saying we? As if
yeah.
I went to come to Hollywood and I get your message saying, and here in the new car, I get your message. I just press a wee button and it reads it to me. I love that. I've never had anything like this, right? And then it goes, do you want to reply? I'm like, nah, right? But anyway, yeah, I got your message saying something was wrong. And then when I got the lights, pressed our wee button and I saw what your message was. And that your car broken down.
Can you make a story longer?
Sorry, I was like, for fuck. And then, see, from there, now I got that message. I hadn't even reached Sprucefield yet. I got your message and I'm immediately going, go to McDonald's and get a McMuffin. And I wrestled with that. I drove past 4 McDonald's on my way here.
Yeah.
And everyone, as I approached them, going, I'll just stop and get a McMuffin. I have time now because Shane's going to be late.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it, mate. Do you know what that is? Resistance.
Well done.
I don't think I've done that in a long time.
Well done. And you know what the resistance is going to lead to? Resistance training.
That's it.
Before you know it. That well done.
It was a big deal. I mean, I realise, as I'm saying it, it doesn't sound like a big deal. I'll tell you where it was a really big deal. Knocknagoney.
Because it's a big McDonald's
deal. Because it was going, I'm actually not only early, like because you were going to be late, mm-hmm. I was even early for the time I was meant to be here for, which never happens. And I'm going, I could maybe nip around there, a couple of hash browns, maybe don't even get a McMuffin.
Yep.
What if we just go nuts and get 5 hash browns?
That's more psychopath than leaving your house and getting in your car with a knife.
I know. And then
just getting hash browns.
And I did nothing. And then I drove here, parked the car. And I know that because I parked quite close to Fosty's van, I had to sort of do this when I was like scooching past. And went, oh, wouldn't have been able to do that if it had them hash browns. But then the way I was holding the knife, I know it was because I thought it was the same.
Sorry, can I see you shimmy again?
Shimmy Floyd Hasselbeck. There he is.
Oh, do you know what? It's crazy that your head was telling you I should get a McMuffin. You know what's crazy that your head wasn't telling you?
Don't get a McMuffin.
Offer Shane a lift.
I'm nowhere near you. I'm on the other side of
Doesn't
town.
Matter. See, if that was me, I'd have come pick
you. Where were you though? Cross car?
Miles away.
That is not doable for me. I don't even know how to get there. That's down your fucking killer.
Sorry.
Day.
You're in the car, can do everything, mate. Can't tell you how to get the cross car?
I don't know how. I know how to vaguely get there, but it's like on the other side.
Doesn't matter.
Foster offered you a lift before I had the chance to.
But he was already here. You were in transit.
He's closer to it than I was.
You were in Lisburn, mate. It doesn't matter. See if it was me. No matter where you were. We had the kind of friendship where I said, here, hang tight, I'll come pick
what
you up.
What did I offer you, though, instead? Wee day off. That's what I offered you. Don't worry about it, buddy.
How quick were you to say that?
I know.
Mate, we can shelve it. We can shelve it.
We can shelve it.
Before we get into this episode of Napoleon, and it's not just because I don't know a lot about Napoleon, I'm stalling for time. A lot of people, if they are trying to, say, go between two cars and there's not that big of a space, they will breathe in. People say that, breathe in. Best thing you can do, I learned this in from Jackie Chan, breathe out. See if you breathe in, you're inflating your chest.
Wow.
You breathe out, then shimmy, less chest.
What happens so then? For me, there's a possibility that I'll get stuck mid-shimmy there.
Yeah.
Because if I go to breathe in again,
yeah.
I've breathed out to get into the shim. And then if I...
Sorry, another medieval name of yours, mid-shimmy. let me say this. We have a live episode of Mysteries. It's finally happened. It's going to be in Mandela Hall on the 3rd of March. Tickets may be gone by the time we put this out. We're not too sure when exactly the tickets are going out because we did this episode last year, if you can believe it. We're doing that. What can you expect? Here's what we should do, and I'll say this on the episode. We should bring two subjects, and we should do me bringing us telling Kieran about one thing. And is that what we're going to do anyway?
I think so.
That's what we're going to do that anyway. Yeah.
You do a half, take a break. I do a half.
And cool. Can we start with, you know, the way we didn't have time because of the car trouble today, we always start with listening to Michael Bolton, How Can We Be Lovers But Can't Be right. Friends. Would you perform, can we perform
that? Oh, let's perform.
To start the pod?
Let's
to start
that.
The pod?
To start? Or
to start, Dan.
To start the live.
To start pod. The pod.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that on other history podcasts. What history podcast, you know, throws on a live one at, I'm going to call it, a sold out Mandela Hall and starts with, How Can We Be Lovers If We Can't Be
Tell
Friends?
Tell me who doesn't do that. Dan Snow.
No, he doesn't.
Early access tickets on Patreon.
Early access tickets on Patreon. The Tea With Me, Patreon, and No Blaster 2. Napoleon.
Which one? Dynamite, Bonaparte?
Imagine this whole... Imagine I got confused.
I know.
On the whole episode, and then I had to pretend I knew anything about Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon Bonaparte, who actually changed the spelling of his name.
Did he?
Later in life, yeah. There used to be a U at the start of it.
Oh, Bonaparte?
Mm-hmm. But...
Is that true?
Yes.
I didn't know.
I know everything about Napoleon. It feels like a good time to do this episode because... The movie Napoleon has just come out, starring Joaquin Phoenix, which I used to think was Joaquin, to the point where the real Betis footballer and Spain Joaquin. Footballer. Yes, I know that now, but growing up would have called him Joaquin.
Yeah, I definitely.
Watch out for Joaquin.
I definitely called Joaquin Phoenix Joaquin Phoenix.
I once thought Les Ferdinand when I had Premier League stickers. His name was pronounced Lise Frinfield. So there you go. I asked someone if they had a spare Lise Frinfield.
I thought
which
you were
going to
go
right.
for like a Les Ferdinand. You know,
no, that'd be nice though, wouldn't it? Yeah. The Ferdinand? Although, what's Les in French?
What?
What is lay in French?
Lay, like a plural of the.
Okay.
Like
so les and rio. Anyway, Napoleon Bonaparte.
These Ferdinands.
Rio or Les Ferdinand do not feature in the history of Napoleon Bonaparte.
What about
at
Antoine Ferdinand? Is he in there?
He's in there.
Possibly.
So what I think we should do is, because we like to look at the myth of history, I'll give you a bit of a background of the man.
Right.
And then we'll talk about some of the myths that surround him.
Right.
How's that?
Sounds
that's
great.
Good, isn't it?
Sounds good. Sounds like a mix of history and myths.
And I find that the best place to learn about a historical figure like this isn't school, isn't the library. It's in a breakdown centre in Crossgar. When you're waiting for your wife to come pick you up because your so-called one of your best friends can't find this place that is in the country where he lives. And he has sat in his... frankly, ridiculously expensive car. I say car, it's a pickup truck. Obviously, he has a pickup truck because he is not a farmer. Anyway, pick up the pieces of our friendship. Anyway, let's start with Napoleon. I don't know how much you know about Napoleon. Have you had a chance to see the movie yet?
I haven't seen the film yet, but I'm looking forward because I remember how good Gladiator was when Ridley Scott and Joaquin did a wee number together. Yeah.
It's good that I haven't seen the movie because I would have just based everything about him on the movie, which is what I do on any historical subject. If we ever do, did I do William Wallace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we did Robert the Bruce.
Okay, that's all from Braveheart.
To
my
be
knowledge,
fair, everything I knew about him was from Braveheart.
It's from Braveheart, yeah. Right? You know, he looks an awful lot like Mel Gibson, right?
Yeah.
I actually went to the cinema yesterday to see Paw Patrol the movie with my son.
Right.
And I saw that Napoleon was on, and I was like, you know what? I don't know if he'll enjoy this because he's three, but that'd be better to go and see, considering what we're doing today. Right, let's go
how
back.
How was Paw Patrol? Just
after 45 minutes, my son was like, I just want to go.
Oh.
You know, it's a long time just sit there, isn't it?
It's a long time to sit there watching Paw Patrol.
I thought it was underwhelming, if I'm honest. So, do you know where Napoleon was born?
I thought he was French. I think he's French.
He's born in Corsica. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Corsica, which is an island off...
It's a French island. Like.
It's a French island.
Mediterranean.
In the Mediterranean. So he actually grew up not feeling French at all.
Right.
His family moved
so
there.
So did I.
And I want to say... And I want to say... Something like the 16th century, anyways, his family moved there. He's from a pretty well-to-do family with a history of a bit of dough about them. Yeah? A wee bit of cash.
Dough report?
Yep. Nice.
Thanks.
First child part of the episode. So, yeah, he lives in Corsica in Ajaco or something it's called. Is that right? Fuck me, is that right? I managed him football manager once.
It's like Ajaccio.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Ajaccio.
I do close for big fellas, don't I? So he lives there, and he comes over to France for the first time when he's a student, as a child.
Like 16, he goes to the military academy.
What 16, sort of, he goes to the when military
was
he, academy.
What year was he born?
1769.
Oh, okay, so he fully was an adult then when the revolution happened then?
Yes.
Right.
Now, the first time he goes to France, he describes himself feeling like a foreigner. So I think when you look at his story and all the history, myths, legend about him, you assume this guy, absolutely, this is the most famous French person probably of all time, right? Him and Eric Cantona?
I mean, it's definitely up there. It's him and maybe a
And Stromae?
Who's Stromae?
Allo danse! Boom, 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 allo danse! What about Stromae, Napoleon.
I think Sasha's more famous, no? Is he French?
I don't know. Let's not get into the world of old school dance. Yet, because it's about to come into this story so quickly. So yeah, he goes to like military academy in France, but feels like a foreigner, and you would assume from everything about him that this guy grew up feeling French, and then this is the most French person you can imagine, but it's not like that at all. And he actually has his own ideas about France, about the way it should be ran. And at this time, there's no focus. You know, when you think about France back then, what's that? Liberté, égalité.
Yep, liberté, égalité, fraternité.
Which means what?
Freedom, equality, and what was the other one? Brotherhood.
Well, that is not the case when he's a young man and he's growing up after the French Revolution. Like, that's not the case at all. But he has all these ideas of what he would do. But growing up and going to the military academy and then getting into the army, he's not headed for the top.
Mm.
It's not like he's getting fast-tracked to the top like a lot of people would. And actually, that is something years later he kind of brings in, that when you join the army, there's nothing stopping you going way up.
Right.
You know, because, you know, a lot of countries, like, you can only go to a certain level if you're the best soldier in the world. You're only,
If you were not from, say, like a noble family or something, you can only rise this.
One of the things he gets rid of. So he ends up fighting in Italy for France, and at this point the French are trying to push into a lot of Europe, you know, Italy, Austria, fighting with Russia, I want to say. But he, it's one of those ones, and you read this about loads of people in the first season of people that we researched for this, they always, like, it was so turbulent in governments and in armies, because everyone, you'd be like, he did this, and then he deserted or he resisted, and he ended up going to jail for a while, and then he comes back. Everyone that we read about seems to just, they're a year in jail here, they get kicked out of here. I think because of coups and everything changed so fast.
Yeah.
It's
like Gino De Campo, just cheeky 2 years inside, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Do you know about this?
I only got told about this maybe a week ago, and that's mental that I was only discussing this a week ago. You broke into someone's house or something?
Paul Young's house. You know, the singer.
Sandy and Adonna?
Yeah. And
by the way, the other guy did the heavy lifting in that song.
He broke into Paul Young's house and stole guitar.
Sandy and Adonna! No more pain and no sorrow! By the way, how much? There must have been an early version of that Paul Young put out and gave to, like, record execs, and they were like, it's his joke. I just sit, watch the ocean, Sandy and Adonna! And they're like, Paul, it's good. And then he went, I know this, Phil. And this guy comes up, no more pain and no sorrow! You know what that is?
It sounds like Scarface.
That's a gravy on the Sunday roast.
Sounds like fucking Scarface is doing it. Like,
say hello to no more pain in the
But yes.
Anyway, yes, that's important to establish. Gino De Campo broke into Paul Young's house. Anyway.
2 years in jail.
Okay.
Anyway. I love Gino.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead. I feel like Paul Young deserves more of your sympathy in that story. Anyway. But you could have said, I don't know. Anyway, I'll say this. He keeps kind of returning to Corsica at different parts of this story as well, because I think they're not aligned up to the central French way of thinking. Oh. But he keeps nipping over there quite a bit. He sort of keeps rising Dan, if I leave out anything important or you want to jump in with anything, just do it. But he keeps like kind of climbing the ranks and people like him within like military and government. But he does have some kind of radical ways of thinking or he kind of threatens the way the government is because he is so like ambitious and he has this idea of France and it does involve like equality and he doesn't love the nobles and things like that. So the people within government kind of want to keep him at arm's length while recognizing he's a good soldier. But his ambition, they don't like his ambition.
So yeah, his first sort of, the crucial role was he recaptured Toulon from the British forces.
Right.
Which and you know, because they've been trying to get that back for too long.
Too long.
No more pain and no sorrow.
So when was that? Though? So is this pre-revolution?
This is 1793, so I believe that's...
Everything that happens in this is after the revolution.
Well, right, he was at military academy, I think, during the revolution, was in Paris and actually played some part in sort of... He was in Paris at times and led forces.
Oh, right,
But then came out in sort of 63 to 67, he led successful campaigns in Italy. And that's sort of what brought him to prominence against the Austrians.
93.
Yeah, 1793 was Toulon, then 1796 to 7 was against Austrian and Sardinian forces, and that's what really brought him to prominence.
And he was offered a role, and it was something to do with Italy. He was going to be, like, their guy in Italy, in charge of something, but he didn't think it was kind of going to go... Well,
he was going to be their guy in Italy in charge of something, but he didn't want it.
That was the title. They said... Will you be our guy in Italy? You know? He's going to be the guy in Italy. But he didn't want that.
It's just funny.
Because he thought it was...
He was going to be in charge of something. Nah, I heard the one that. It's a bit vague. I'm not sure what the job description is here. Just go to Italy. You're in charge of stuff. That's sweet. That's really funny.
I would love that job. You want to be the guy in Italy?
I would love to be the guy. Great. In Italy. Oh, seriously, I love it there.
I could see you in white linens walking around Italy.
Mate, I love Italy. Yeah. I fit in there. I do. I don't fit in many places, but I fit in Italy. Like, they love it.
Italy?
Yeah.
No.
I do. I'm very Mediterranean. I want to go there. I am. Mate, I fit in. Like, seriously.
Mm.
Just the way I dress and all.
Right. So... Yeah, they go, do you want to be the guy in Italy? He says, it doesn't align with my ambitions. It's not really going anywhere, that job. And he ends up, like, different people are sort of trying to bring him into government, but instead of that, he goes back to Paris, and he's basically going there to say to the government, listen, I'm a top boy. You know? He wants to...
Is this before or after the Egyptian campaign?
This is way before.
Okay.
So he's going there to basically state his credentials. And he goes, listen, bump me up here. You know what I mean? It's like almost like X Factor boot camp.
Right, okay.
He's going back and he's like, he's really going for it. Sends in Adana. He's right. Belting that out. Right. And Dan, let's not get hung up on timeline, but and exactly
on this,
when.
On this history podcast.
And when things happen. But yeah, he fights another war. He goes to Egypt.
Yeah, he gets offered the chance to fight the British because they're like, someone could take on them, but he decided that the navy's too strong in Britain, so he doesn't want to lose to them.
But
he'll go to Egypt.
But that's what he says. He goes, we need to control the seas. He goes, if you're not controlling the seas, you're not going
to
win out there.
They need to extend their empire to challenge the British Empire, so Egypt was first on his list.
So he says, here we go. Now, part of me thinks he's thinking 30 degrees out there or whatever. Bit of a tan. So he fights in the War of the Nile, the Battle of the Nile, against none other than, who's that fella? Big British guy.
Was it Nelson? Nelson.
Big Nelson.
Lord Admiral.
And he...
Not at this point, I don't think.
No.
He's just a guy at that point.
Just some guy.
The guy, he was Nelson. The British guy in Egypt. TBGIE, yeah. He was. Yeah. And I don't know anything about Nelson, so let's do an episode on him sometime.
Okay.
But he wins pretty...
Nelson.
He wins pretty easily. And...
Battle of the Nile?
Yeah.
Who wins?
Nelson. The British. Nelson. Oh, sorry. This is going to come way after. Sorry, I've got swayed. They love him.
Swayed.
He's getting all these promotions. Okay, we'll just go straight to that. Yes, he loses that battle, but when he comes home, kind of because it happened in Egypt, there's a couple of times he loses battles, right? This guy has all the luck in the world, Napoleon, right? He wins pretty much everything he's part of, bar Egypt, and there was one more, but because these happened almost so far away, they're almost forgotten about.
He's also good at writing his own reports on what's happening, and when he wins, he'll like talk everything up. And he sends his report back to like the people of Paris, so they start to love him for that. Right. And when he loses, he just sort of ignores it.
So actually what they were scared of, the government at the time and people in power at the time, is how ambitious this guy is, how good he is. That all starts to come true because he's writing his own history and the people, his popularity, like he's already becoming almost like a myth. Already, while he's still alive, because he's documenting his own history, and he's the only person really to do that, and that's why he is one of the reasons why he's still so talked about now is because there is so much
like source material,
documents,
stuff,
and record because he was writing it, which is smart. You know what I mean? This guy, by the way, did not jump ahead, wrote his own basically autobiography at the, like. When he was exiled, which obviously we're gonna talk about.
Ghostwritten by Eamon Dunphy.
Forward by Stromae. But yeah, he wins some, he loses some, but what he's great at is he'll go in somewhere and he'll just make you sign a treaty.
Yeah.
He will make you sign a treaty, no matter who you are. And Austria are one of the people that he was really beefing with at the start. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know they were doing a lot.
Austria?
Yeah.
The Austro-Hungarian Empire. All that sort of shit.
Don't know anything about that. But yeah, he was fighting a lot with them. Obviously Britain. But he's in Italy a lot. And he's basically, this guy's treaty's coming out of his ears.
Right.
He makes you sign a treaty. That's what he does. He makes you sign a treaty. Also, he's putting it about a wee bit as well.
Putting one about as well?
Yeah. Which?
His bone apart. His bony part.
Which in later years, after an autopsy, was cut off and toured around the world, basically. People got really into his
Napoleon's
cock.
Walt did a world tour.
Yep.
I can't even do a fucking world tour.
It ended up in New York in the 1920s, I want to say.
Napoleon exhibition. Wanger, like,
I paid to see it.
I wouldn't. I'll look at it for free. Do you have pictures?
One of the most notable men throughout history. I look at his cock.
Well,
it would be interesting to see.
Well, what's the word of his cock? Like, what's the talk? You know,
of his cock?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, you know, is he hung like a shower horse or like a fucking cashew? Because
I'm going to say, I don't know. I know there's a Wikipedia page devoted entirely to his member. His member. And I don't know what the word is on its size or lengthwise, but basically, like, yeah, people were just people were really into it. People were buying it, and all. You know what I mean? It was getting auctioned, and
you can auction Napoleon's cock.
Well, I don't know who has it now, but
so a urologist and artifact collector named John K. Latimer purchased the item in 1977 for $3,000.
Yeah,
$3,000.
That's cheap for Napoleon's cock.
For anyone's cock, that's cheap.
No, it is. Get you a cock way cheaper than $3,000.
Yeah, but you can't keep it. Like you get, you're talking about getting somebody like a rent boy or something.
You can't lend it. No, I mean just a standalone cock.
Well, you can, like a human one.
Yeah, less than $3,000. No. I guarantee. Oh my god.
No.
You would say. See, by the end,
$3,000.
By the end
cheap.
Of today, I'll get you. How much? What are you budgeting for this? I get you a cock for £500. Honestly,
a human cock.
Yeah.
I don't want it, but like if you could, I want you to prove it. You can get me.
Weirdly, you don't want to keep it. You want it, but you don't want, you want to give it back. You want to rent it?
I want to rent it. Yeah.
A documentary which aired in Channel 4, Dead Famous DNA, described it as very small.
Really? Because that's one thing we want to talk about as well, obviously, is his height.
Well, maybe he was a grower, not a shower, like, and people are giving him shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get you, buddy. It's all good.
It's not fair.
This
is my first lick with death, by the way. I've never had it.
Right, basically he fights a load of wars. Egypt doesn't go well. He loses another one. But also, I'll tell you this, he makes himself emperor of France.
So can we jump back to 1799 quickly?
Please.
Yep.
Want to take a while,
so staged a coup in November, overthrew the French government. Like, France was in a bad state at this point.
After,
like,
the revolution, yeah.
Like, prices of everything gone up, inflation, all that kind
looking
of stuff.
Looking after the rich.
So the people weren't happy, but they loved Napoleon because of all his victories throughout Europe.
Of his tiny fucking walnut whip.
Yeah. So he helped overthrow the government and then set in place a new government, which was ruled by, I think, was it three or five people called the director?
Three. But it was basically him.
He was the head guy. And then in 1804, he crowned himself Emperor of France.
And the reason for that is that wasn't just indulgence or vanity. It might have been a bit, but he was worried that people just kept trying to assassinate him. You know, people from within. So what he was advised by one of these other two guys is that were his sort of counsel was, if you become emperor, it's just your bloodline. So even if they kill you, they're not going to be able to take the power themselves.
It's sort of interesting how much that's like a Roman emperor, though, isn't it?
Well, that was a big fascination of his growing up, was like Julius Caesar and the whole Roman Empire.
Maybe that's why he wrote the reports, because Caesar did that when he conquered Gaul, the Commentary.
That's exactly why he did it, because he wanted like legacy. Mm. He wanted posthumous fame, kind of. And when he had the coronation for himself, everyone thought it was a bit weird because his whole ethos kind of was going against like the rich and all this kind of thing, but he wanted his coronation to be like the biggest of all time.
Wow.
So they brought the Pope over, and that's someone he'd kind of warred with, but he'd had a little bit of a run-in with the Pope before. And
you not love to be at that level? You're having wee rows with Pope and all.
Like, nowadays you'd be on Twitter and all, wouldn't it?
Just texting him being like, will you fuck up?
Yeah. At the last minute, though, he doesn't let the Pope put the crown on his head. He sort of puts it on himself. By the way, not into religion at all. Another thing about him.
Really?
Yeah, not
imagine,
into it. But
imagine burning the Pope, though, with a wee, you know, wee WhatsApp.
Yeah.
You know, send them like a wee gif or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like when the Pope says something, you send them a gif of a rhino taking a shake. Go here, lick your lips. Take a shake, do you, Pope? I'm all over and put my crown on. Actually, I'm going to do it.
He did, however, believe that there should be like religion in France, because he thought that would be a better way to rule. But actually, at one point, he wanted to be a Muslim, and he was going to. One of the times one of the times he kind of got exiled back in the day, or shooed away, he was going to offer his services to the Sultan of Turkey. He's like, I'll just go and be his mate.
Wow.
But anyway, the battle of Waterloo is where he fucks it.
Right, okay.
Right. So they
shots against the British.
Well, they had peace with the British. And
great
then,
song.
What? Oh.
Mama, at Waterloo, Napoleon did surrender.
I've never known the lyrics of that bar, no. Waterloo.
There you go. Waterloo, couldn't escape if I wanted to. Am I making that up?
No.
Waterloo. Sorry.
So he loses at the Battle of Waterloo.
We've jumped a few battles at this point.
Okay.
He's having battles against Austria and Russia. Probably his most famous at Austerlitz, one of his greatest victories.
I happen to know that there was an old bastard who taught music in St. Anne's Primary. Whenever I was, he would come in once or twice a month and take a wee music lesson, and he taught us a song about Napoleon that went, they called him Boney, and he goes, and this is an old bastard, by the way, just in the 90s, going with a wee guitar, going, Boney beat the Prussians way, Boney beat the Russians way, Boney beat the Austrians way, and then I can't remember what the last line was, which is probably,
Barney?
And then he fucked it at Waterloo, couldn't escape.
Sends him to Danny! Yeah, you're right, Dan. He had a load of other battles, didn't he?
So,
is that where he took the fucking French Empire to? That's not bad. Like,
so yeah, and he, as Shane was saying, he puts all these treaties together, basically stopping people trading with Britain or England to try and sort of reduce their power. So he did all these treaties and he had all this power.
He makes a lot of kings. He just give you, see if you know him, he'll just let you go and be, if you're in his family, you know, he'll just let you go and be a king somewhere. He'd take over a place and then he goes, here, you're a king.
That's what people don't realise about him, is that he was obsessed with money as well as just fighting war, so all his, as Shane says, all his relatives got decent jobs and,
right.
you know, there was coin flying about.
Jobs for the boys.
And see, Spain, is that under his control as well?
Oh, why?
Yeah, ruled by his brother or stepson, according right. to his
who was brutal. Like, as in, not brutal, as in, like, just really bad.
Right.
At his job.
Right.
He was shit. So there's obviously loads of covering him. I want to just take it forward to, like, when he loses.
Do you want to do the Russian bit first, or do you want to jump straight to Waterloo?
Well, what I know about the Russian thing is that's where the phrase, and this is a myth or history, mystery or history, the whole phrase, Napoleon complex, you know, so what's your take? What do you know by that phrase? When someone says
Napoleon
that
Napoleon complex, that he was a small person who had to overcompensate for being short and being looked down on his whole life by...
Quick fucking, temper,
like, yeah, and by like being
showing
like,
how strong he is,
basically being a wee dick.
Like, yeah, it's
being
about
overly
like,
aggressive.
Yes, putting your head down, just running into something without yeah. thinking. But first of all, myth about Napoleon was not that small,
right?
Complete average height for a French man of his time.
What height was he? Do you know?
I don't know.
5'6".
Well, here that's short.
I think
well,
the average back height in the day, was 5'5" or 5'7". Like he was
average
within
height
an inch
for
of it.
Yeah, because they used to talk about 5'8" was. The average height of Irish people at this time, and they were considered to be big.
I think it was 5'7" was maybe the average height in France, and so.
Right.
So he wasn't that small. Plus, he had already warred with Russia twice before, so he didn't just like.
Did he look smaller because he used to wear a big stupid fucking sideways hat?
And also, he did wear that hat because that's another thing people go. Has this just become like you know,
yeah,
like Vikings wearing like horns on
yeah,
their helmets?
Like the Sherlock Holmes hat. Yeah.
He did wear that. And he did wear a big coat.
You know what didn't help him either historically now is Bill and Ted's adventure, Napoleon and that.
Right, okay.
Super small, super ugly. I think that's what people
he was. He was, do you know what he was? He's fine looking. He was unremarkable.
Right.
Although his hair was a wee bit sort of
loose. So the Russian winter fuck him?
So yeah, so basically he went to, I think Russia started trading, they broke the treaty. And so he went, his idea was to take, I think it was like 600,000 men and march into Russia, but not go too far.
615,000.
Oh, sorry. And what the Russians did was like retreat in front of him.
Right.
So he ended up going all the way to Moscow, but they sort of did the sort of burnt earth, scorched earth, sorry, and just destroyed everything. And they just he kept going further and further in, and then the winter hit them and fucked them.
Do you know what's mental? That's exactly, like literally that's what happened to the German army, like in the 40s. Scorched earth as far as fucking Stalingrad, and then fucked them on the way back out though, just because fucking Russian winter, mate. Don't fight it. Enjoy it.
A great song.
I think he lost 400,000 men, and most of them through dysentery and exposure.
Imagine dying of the shits in the middle of a Russian snowfield. Do you know how on twank that is? Like that.
It's not the way you want to go out, no.
I want to be a wee cozy. Oh, I hate
you
that.
You will be. Trust me.
I hate that. Oh, that's awful. Imagine imagine like being in the middle of a Russian cornfield and there's snow everywhere and they've burnt anything good out of it as well. And then you get that pain in your tummy where you go, I'm going to literally shit myself to death.
Yep.
Oh, it's so grim.
Yep.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. And you're a wee French guy and you should be fucking sitting having cheese.
Yeah.
On the
I mean, the worst
like,
if you've got the shits, it's the worst thing you can have.
Isn't it? It fucking is as well.
So I got a fact. There's too much to fit in.
Sorry, when vaguely did that? When did he lose in Russia?
1812.
Right, and then is Waterloo 1815?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So he gets after Russia, he gets his first exile. And gets sent to the island of Elba. No idea where that is.
I've read about Elba. About him being on that island. It's like a prison island,
yeah.
But it's sort of like house arrest. Like it's not like he's not
swanky.
He's not doing like hard time.
He's playing tennis.
Yeah, it's Wolf of Wall Street.
He's loud as phone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then didn't he? So was this? Did he go to Elba twice? But the.
No, he goes.
He escaped. I know he escapes Elba.
He escapes and goes back to Paris.
Right.
Starts the 100-day war or something?
Mm.
which is then you can pick up with Waterloo at that point.
Well, also, let's fit in here that see when he's in power, he's changing everything.
Right.
Education reforms, social reforms, even like building like bridges, like really advanced bridges for their time. Right. He's just very, very... Cause
proactive.
He's a tactician, like military tactician. He's got all that nailed. He knows how to talk to people. He's very popular, but also like very intelligent as well. And knows how to come across popular with the people. So everybody loves him.
Establishes the Napoleonic Code, which yes. is still used today in a lot of sort of places.
What's that?
It's like a code of sort of a civil code.
Right.
That like a lot of modern day democracies are based on.
No parking on double yellows.
Yeah.
Don't take a shit in the alleyways. Yeah. All that.
He, right, so anyway, Battle of Waterloo. Well, I want to talk more about the myths around him. So I'm just going to fast forward and say, when he loses that, he thinks in his head, and this is so you and probably me, he thinks the British are just going to take him to like live in Britain in like a really nice
like
big
a wee
country
house. Arrest-y.
No, not a wee house. He's like, I'm gonna be living out in the countryside, big house, and I'll be under house arrest. But they're going to send round all these politicians and famous people. We'll have a drink together and we'll talk about, you know, what's happened. He's killed hundreds of thousands of, like, British soldiers and stuff. But he's like, listen, they'll give me a wee slap on the wrist, you know. But
You'd have done it to me.
He thinks he's going to be holding court.
Yeah. Right?
They say, he also thinks, he also thinks worst case scenario, they're going to send him to America. Right, that's where his brother ended up going. But he thinks, all right, I'll go to America, sure.
Imagine that now, like some politician just going, listen,
yeah,
killed hundreds of thousands of you. What do you want me to do? Become an after dinner speaker, Boris Johnson.
See, if it was nowadays, he'd be on Cameo.
Yeah,
right. That's in his head. He'd be going, I'll make a few quid from Cameo. This will be all right. It doesn't work out like that. They say to him, listen, mate, we'll send you to an island. And he goes, happy days, he's probably thinking Tenerife or something.
Right.
He goes to St. Dan?
St. Helena.
St. Helena. The second most, like, remote island in the world.
Right.
When he gets there, right, look at it here.
Where's that?
Right in the middle of the South Atlantic.
Oh!
Right between South America and Africa. And see, when you get there, there's two, like, 600 feet mountains. And then there's just like a little bit of a cove type thing leading you into it.
No Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi at all. This place is so high up that most of the year you're in the clouds. So it's sticky. It's damp. It's dark.
It does sound shite, like.
They have a house. So they basically go, listen, mate, we have a gaff for you here, right? We have a proper, like, not palatial, but with a nice house. But it was built with all the wrong materials. Right, so
a cloud house.
There's mold. There's damp, and he's allowed to bring 29 people with him. Basically, allowed to bring a few mates, and they stay loyal to him.
He's brought everybody from the Paris comedy scene.
So they stay like loyal to him. He's there, and the man who's like in charge of him, hates him. Is a nightmare to him.
Who's some English guy?
Sir, fuck.
Britain.
He's a British guy, but hates him, right? And like he you could say, yeah, he's in exile, and he's got this island almost to himself. Mm. But
Sir Hudson Lowe.
Sir Hudson
Lowe.
Sir Hudson Lowe. That's him.
Yeah.
Bastard. They end up coming like okay at the end, but. When he's living there, they have this thing where he's like playing cards and stuff. The place that he's in is that damp that at the end of the night when they finish playing cards, they've got to put the cards in the oven to dry them out.
For fuck's sake.
It's damp.
That's absolutely melting. That melts me even knowing about that.
Do you know what it's like? So you book this Airbnb and you think it looks unreal. Like we did in Mallorca.
Yeah, like earlier I did in the year. Fucking California.
But we thought this place looked brilliant. I thought it wasn't that bad. But tricks photography. It was nowhere near as big as they had made it seem.
See the one that we got, the in fucking LA, it didn't even have locks on any of the doors. All the doors were closed with like wooden wedges. And I said to the guy, what's the crack?
Individually or the main outdoor?
Including the main doors of the house, no locks. And I went, dude, that's not safe. Like, and he goes, and it was a Russian guy, and I swear to God,
so lame that just because you're in America, you're calling people dude. I hate that. Dude.
I actually went, bro.
Dude, this is not chill.
Bro, yeah. I totally don't know what you're doing to me right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
and I said to him,
cowabunga.
I said to him, I was like, dude,
yeah.
you're totally fucking with my safety, bro, yeah. right? And he goes, he says to me, this is a Russian guy, I swear to God he said this, you can pick lock, you cannot pick wood. And I went, you know what, I'm way to Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
Bye, true story. Mental. So imagine
he can't
this.
Go to a Holiday, he doesn't have that luxury.
Imagine at this time.
There's no Holiday Inn in St. Helena.
Your playing cards are probably, that's your laptop.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's your fuck. That's your iPad.
Yep.
And you have to fucking cook it every night.
Yep. There's mold, there's rats, there's everything.
If that's how wet they are, was though, how wet was it, if you know what I'm saying?
What was wet?
Isn't there that story about Napoleon's wife where she wanted him to buck her or something on the eve of some great battle and he's meant to say, not tonight, Josephine? Isn't that a thing?
And there was the other one, did you tell me this, where he wrote her a letter. He's basically like on his way back from battle and he said, I'm on my way back, I'll be there in 2 days, don't bathe. But that isn't as it sounds. Apparently, like, they didn't bath all the time. This is what I'd heard. So what he meant was, don't bath between now and then, but like when you see me coming back, jump in the bath, give it a clean.
Right.
Give it a clean.
I thought it meant, I'll, you know, don't bathe because I'll like it pickled. You know what I mean? I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna come back and show you this wee fucking bony bit.
Je voudrais un pickle. So anyway, on his exile on this island. He's writing flat out. That's why we have so much history.
Right, okay.
But it's coming from him, but like he's also writing like fiction out there. He sounds like a name. He sounds like you. He's always publishing works and doing things.
Also, at the height of his power, when he was like traveling all around Europe in battles, he used to get each night a report on France, what had happened that day in France.
Right.
So there's somewhere in Paris now which has like 30,000 documents that just
oh wow!
Tell
that's
what happened.
Cool.
So that's why we have so much information about that time.
I think he's a bit like Drake nowadays. He's putting out loads and loads, like 30 track albums.
Yeah,
and you're like,
they can't all be bangers.
Yeah. Like, can we go back to like you know, headlines, the motto,
it's
Marvin's
fucking,
room.
Do you know what though? It is weird because I don't know a lot about him, but it is.
Oh yeah.
It's sort of like distinctly Roman stuff though. Like Roman style, like the,
well, he's heavily influenced by that.
The keeping of records in that sort of fastidious kind of.
Yeah. Well, he wants his legacy to live on.
Yeah.
Is it 6 or 7 years, Dan?
I think it's 6 years.
6 years.
In the fucking damp.
Yeah.
He
dies of cancer. The here's another myth.
Well, he just fucking went there and died. That's it.
Yeah.
Fuck up Napoleon, there's bound to be some. I thought we were going to do a bit like where he got fucking buried in North Belfast or something, like Napoleon's nose.
Well, he got buried there on the island, but he in his will, he wanted to be, I think he wanted to be cremated and put, or not cremated, but he wanted his remains to go to the banks of the River Seine to be in Paris among his people.
Little did he know some cunt 200 years later would be paying $3,000 for his cack. You know what I mean?
So he wants this, but they say no, but relations, like after his death, relations between France and Britain become way better.
Right.
And they actually team up for the Crimean War.
Right.
So because of that, Britain allow his body to come back to France.
Right, okay.
But it doesn't go to the banks the same, but he is buried in France. And
then his son then fucking take over or something? There was a couple of Napoleons then after him.
His son was also called Napoleon.
His great nephew, I think, was Napoleon III.
Mm.
And at this point, is just appointed because of his name. Like,
right.
No one's like him. But he is, Daniel, if I've left anything out, I'll say this. he is like one of the most iconic famous people in history when you say these great men of history, and largely it is because he just documented it all. You know, it's like nowadays, like jumping on always Instagram for a story, and people have just saved those.
It's just like the more content you put out, the bigger the numbers.
He was saying that.
A clip every day, that's Napoleon's way.
He was saying that back then.
Yeah.
Content is king.
The Napoleonic code. Here, jump on Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/Bonaparte. So here, do we know any more? I don't know loads about Waterloo, but I just know it was a big naval battle. Was that against Nelson as well?
Yes.
And Nelson, do we know anything about that?
Well, sorry for a sec. I think it was 14 years after his exile or his death that France and Britain were fighting together.
Right.
So actually, he was the one who kind of somehow, despite that battle, brought them together.
Right, okay.
What
about being exiled? Must be sort of shit.
It's like purgatory. That's why it's set up. And he was in that place that was so remote to kind of punish him and to make sure that he couldn't escape.
And that guy, Hudson Lowe, just had to hang out with him. Imagine being that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also sort of being punished then, isn't he?
Do you know what I think in my mind he would do, Sir Hudson Lowe? I think he would he'd be cooking like an unreal dinner. Smells going all around the house and all, and because it's so damp, the smell's really carrying.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is lovely. And then he'd be prepared in front of Napoleon, and Napoleon's starving, and then he would just give Napoleon a wee microwave lasagna.
Yeah, or he gives Napoleon the fucking smelly fat bit off his sirloin steak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? While he eats the fucking meat.
So, I think Trafalgar was the naval battle.
Right, okay.
Waterloo, remember the end of Sharp? Did you ever watch Sharp?
Yeah.
The final series of that's Waterloo. So, it's like in modern-day Belgium.
Sorry, so Trafalgar is the thing I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Correct. Is that in the same year? Or is that the year before? Can't remember when Trafalgar was.
But yeah, there are a lot of myths, and people are, like you just said before, Dan, I think now that the Ridley Scott movie has come out, people are saying that's not historically accurate at all. But you kind of don't expect that to be.
Yeah.
Not always the case.
Trafalgar was 1805.
Against Nelson?
Yeah.
Right. And then, so he's fighting on our 10 years. To lose a water.
He gets his first exile, and then like he's only back for 100 days, and that ends at Waterloo.
Right.
And so he's only back for a short time.
And then here's a really stupid. I'm getting
emotional about it.
It's totally irrelevant, nearly. But why did Thierry Henry get away with that handball? No, when was Wellington leading this?
No, Wellington was his, like, adversary at Waterloo.
Right, so Wellington does Waterloo, Nelson does Trafalgar. Yeah. Right. I'm sitting here going,
also,
Wellington's the guy the boots are named after, true story.
The Louisiana Purchase, to say, like, Napoleon's, like...
1803.
The impact that it's had on today's world.
Yeah.
Like, sells 800,000 square miles of America to... America for
from France.
$15 million.
1803, Louisiana Purchase. Yeah,
and they still some parts of Louisiana speak French.
No? That's right. Yeah, Cajun. Imagine being such a baller that you're around with the Pope, you know, flicking a bit of shite at the English, and then just turn around to America and go, here, I'll sell you back some of your own shit.
Yeah,
pay me.
But it's already you're already in it.
And then you know what I mean? That's about in a fucking
gold. That's like me selling you that cardigan.
It is.
For 15 quid now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how good he was.
Yeah.
I sell you a cardigan. Where is it? You're wearing it. You're already wearing it. That's how convenient is that?
Now make me some gumbo. Unreal.
So, I by the way, to finish this off, I don't know the myth about the nose. Why is Cave Hill, which people don't know, it's a mountain... In Belfast, like a big rock, basically.
Yeah, we call it Napoleon's nose because part of it has like a...
But did he have that big hooter?
I think he's meant to have a nose that does that, you know, where it comes out like that and then down.
Right.
Like that bit of Cave Hill, so we all call it Napoleon's.
Like, he'd be sad, I'm sure, if he could somehow find that out years later. Well, what are they named after me? You go, there's a mountain in Belfast, bro. It looks like your snout.
I know, but better to have Napoleon's nose in Belfast than Napoleon's cock in the hand of some private collector.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
If this series goes the way I think it does, do we at the end try and make an offer for it? I don't know where it is or who has it.
Here.
Wouldn't it be lovely to just have Napoleon's cock?
Do you know what I would love to do? Bring Napoleon's cock out at the live event.
if we can get a land of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Rent, that would be lovely.
A wee rental of Napoleon's Walt.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
People can do a meet and greet with it in the foyer of Mandela.
A meet and greet.
M-E-A-T.
Greet the meat. Yeah. Oh, mate, that's mental.
Yeah, so people can give it a wee.
A lot of the sort of characteristics of Napoleon, which people get wrong, like the height and the big nose, it's because a lot of the early cartoonists were starting at this time.
Right.
So James Gilray.
Right.
Was like a British cartoonist, and they would like be writing for the Times or whoever and do these caricatures of Napoleon.
Propaganda.
Propaganda, big
which
time.
Then makes him look like a midget with a big nose.
Let me tell you something else. Hitler visited Napoleon's tomb and said, I think it was like the greatest day of his life. And there is a huge myth around the fact that a lot of people then, because Hitler said that, saw Napoleon as this like early Hitler or like the first version of Hitler.
Wow.
In truth, to break the myth, which is what we like to do, nothing like Hitler really at all. Okay, battles, a lot of people dead, but here's a big difference. Boys will be boys, right? But I'll say this, when Napoleon visited different ghettos in Europe where Jewish people were living like below like the living standard, mm-hmm. he liberated a lot of those kind of areas, and he made sure that Jewish people in certain parts of Europe had like the same rights as everybody else.
Well,
and
right,
if he had a treaty, that's part of it. You treat everybody liberté égalité thing.
Yeah.
You know, treat everybody the same. So that's a key difference. So that's something people look back on and kind of maybe club him in with Hitler, but not like that at all.
Yeah, the same as Stalin and Hitler were both big fans, and he sort of got fucked over just by them being fans.
Imagine just being a fan of somebody and then going. Imagine going, I'm a fan of Napoleon. I'm just going to start ruling swathes of Europe.
Yeah.
That's mental. Like,
that's like me being a really big fan of the guy who sings with Paul Young and Senzu Nadonna and me trying to record music like him. You know what I mean?
It's like on Spotify.
Yeah. It wouldn't be like his.
Yeah. But
But he would suffer because I had brought out music saying I was so influenced by him. People would then club him in with me.
Do you reckon I can get clubbed in with Sting if I just keep talking about how much he influences me?
I could see you clubbing Sting and put him in the back of your pickup truck. I can see that happening at some point, like the film Misery. Chloe just tying two blocks to his ankles, and you demand and he writes an EP with
just
you.
Just me sitting there like Kathy Bates,
yeah.
but her character in Titanic.
Yeah.
Big hat and all, you know?
Big Napoleon hat, yeah. We've tied it all in. Yes. We've tied it all in. And then you cutting off his cock.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's Napoleon's, it stinks. Yeah.
It would stink.
Yeah.
Here, do you need to know any more about Napoleon, or have I covered it all with a lot, 70% of help coming from Dan?
I think you've covered it, I think.
I just wanted to go around a lot of myths around him, but there's less myths around him because it's all there, all the history's there.
The history's there, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, there's some mad thing, like Napoleon's somebody close to Napoleon, a relative of Napoleon, I want to say his like great auntie, there's this stat, fuck, I wish I knew, it'd be so impressive. She was around for the First World War. Someone really close to him. That was kind of
probably
the
not
end
somebody
of his,
older than him then, probably well, like a nephew or
sorry, niece. His emperor status and the fact that it was people from him that then took power. I think the last of those people was around for the First World War. Also, he got rid of the guillotine being used so freely.
Right, okay.
I think it was like before him, there was like 40,000 people a year or something getting guillotined
Jesus,
up.
Jesus, just
with him, it was like, unless you tried to kill him, you weren't getting guillotined.
Say nothing of the amount of flowers and posters they were using. Thank you. On the guillotine.
No, I couldn't find it.
All right,
just before we conclude,
yes,
he does appear in the Alexander Dumas book, The Count of Monte Cristo. As a small part, but like a key.
Hey, we'll have to see it first before we.
It's a key role where, what's that?
You said small part. I was like, that's a mythical campus today. We need to see it. But we will have it. Mandela Hall, 3rd of March.
Napoleon's Cock.
We promise you. Either Napoleon's or Kieran's. We'll have one or two pickle.
Well, yeah. Small as each other. But the one... the why am I doing that? The... he appears in that book, and his kind of, so the main character, at the start of the book, the main character is like a, you know, the first mate on a ship, and the captain goes down with like some fucking mystery disease, and when they go to basically bury him on the nearest island, they land at Elba, and he meets Napoleon, and there's a thing in the book then is like, did he take some fucking treasonous message from Napoleon to help Napoleon escape Elba?
Peach Elba.
And then people fuck over that main character hard. Like, he gets fucked over really hard. They put him on the prison island. And then the whole book is stems from that incident. And he then comes back, you know, the Count of Monte Cristo story where he comes back, does his big mad revenge. So, good times.
The head of the Nepalese soy boy is getting padded because you've brought that together nicely. I hope everybody now knows a lot more. I certainly do. About Napoleon.
Yes.
But great character.
Sound guy.
Historical good guy. In a way, can we say someone who ruled like that and was involved with so many wars, can we say he was a good guy? Because there were some wars he was definitely responsible for. He might not have needed to
Millions
be involved in.
Millions dead, like, usually points to rare guy.
HRG?
Usually. Historical rare guy, yeah. Usually.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, there you go. Thank you for joining us for the first episode in the new series of Mysteries, and we'll see you at the live one in the Mandela Hall.